It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events, sports, arts, entertainment topics, automotive topics, relationships. It's all here now from belowtopsecret.com. This is the BTS Mix.
Hello and welcome to the BTS Mix Show. I'm one of your hosts, Spencer Tracy.
And I'm the other one of your hosts, Doc Hancock. How's it going, Spencer? What's going on?
You know, I went to the George Bush farewell thing he did in Texas yesterday, and it was really interesting. Enjoyed it. Actually, it was very, very nice. Came back, buzzed the town. This is, I guess, when you're the former president, you can do whatever you want. So he was in Air Force One, or excuse me, Special Mission One, and flew over the city really low and kind of like buzzed the buildings.
Nice. And what did George have to say?
He's glad to be back in Texas. His time is done as president, and it was a very gracious, very I'm glad to be home type of meeting. I may put up a link, give everybody a link if they'd like to watch the entire speech. It was very well done, and it was very supportive. President Obama, and it was just a nice time. But I think he's ready to be home. I think he's done his 8 years, so he's ready to be at least out of the limelight for a little while.
Well, yeah, man, you know, I was thinking about that this morning, actually, and I was like, I bet he woke up this morning, cracked a nice cold O'Doul's, because I know he's not into regular beer anymore, and just sat in front of the tube in his boxer shorts, man. I bet he hasn't been able to do that in a very, very long time, and I think that's fantastic.
Wish him well. He immediately left his hometown here and flew to his new hometown in Dallas. But it was really cool to get buzzed by Air Force One.
Well, yeah, we got buzzed by a plane here in New York the other day. That was kind of interesting. I actually work midtown in Manhattan and heard that plane fly over. It was pretty nuts. It was unbelievable. And, you know, I went downstairs to get a cup of coffee, and I saw all these emergency vehicles. And I walked back into my building, and, you know, I said, well, what's going on out there? There's a lot of emergency vehicles. And they said, yeah, a plane just crashed in the Hudson. And I said, wow, that's pretty incredible. And I went up and turned on the news. And I work on 40th on the west side. And the plane came down on, you know, right, I think like 45th. In the river on the west side. And that just goes to show you how weird New York City can be, where, you know, a plane can literally crash a few blocks away from you and it's still so isolated. You know, it was the same thing with 9/11. It was, you know, you'd think as crowded and congested as this city is, it's something of that big of an impact. It still stays very isolated, and it's very strange. But yeah, it was certainly an interesting time dealing with that, and it certainly brought a little excitement to the day, and what a story, you know.
And I thought about you, too, when I was watching that. Man, I wonder if Luke is getting to see this. He landed right where the ferries go between New Jersey and New York, right? So he landed at a great spot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy's a ninja. He's a pilot ninja, as far as I'm concerned, because, I mean, that river is not very wide. And the fact that he was able to do that with two busted up engines, you know, from geese or, you know, whatever the hell happened to him, it just blows my mind that he was able to land that plane safely and that everybody got off that plane alive. You know, yeah, some people, you know, had some leg injuries, and people were a little cold from the water. I think they had some hypothermia situations going on. But talk about lucky. I mean, just unbelievable. And that guy should get some sort of national, you know, accommodation or something, whatever. You know, give him a nice shiny apple and a trophy or something.
We shall give him the BTS Mix Person of the Week Award.
It's in the mail, sir, and yeah, be excited for it, because it's a doozy.
And enjoy this podcast. It's time to start the BTS Mix Show number 41.
The BTS Mix Show, worldwide at belowtopsecret.com.
In today's America, technology empowers the public in nearly everything they do.
Deny boredom.
We've got some breaking general news, and I chose this topic because I thought it was kind of an interesting ethical question, and that is deputies make a traffic stop and find $1 million in a car. In Gwinnett County, deputies found more than $1 million in cash in a car that they had stopped for a traffic violation. Sheriff spokeswoman Stacy Burbanus, I hope I'm saying that right, said that the man was stopped Friday after deputies noticed he was swerving in and out of the lanes. While speaking to him, the man allegedly pushed a deputy and fled on foot. He was captured and charged with obstruction of law enforcement officers. The deputies then searched the vehicle and found the money, which was seized in a duffel bag. Now, here's the ethical question. If you're a police officer, do you really think that they'd notice if it was like, oh, I don't know, $9,990,000? Couldn't you just snag a little bit? So that's the ethical question. What would you do, Spencer?
I would have to, since the camera's running, I would have to turn over all the cash. Yeah.
Or pull the car around so the camera isn't running.
Yeah. Other than that, or I would have my partner chase the suspect and go, I don't know. Somebody, I never saw that camera would be off like a prom dress. Are you kidding me?
Just a little, you know, absolutely. Bring it all in, you know. But I mean, if you skim a quick 10K off the top, you know, no one's going to be the wiser, right? I don't know if I'd be ethical in that situation.
Then you've got to ask yourself, though, Doc, whose money is it? Now, if it's like some crazy drug gang's money and they figure out that you're the one who took maybe 10 grand off the top, probably not going to end very well for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't think about that. You got a point there, man.
Did they ever say what the $1 million was in the duffel bag anyway?
I don't think so. I mean, I assume it would have to be drug-related or something. I mean, most people don't just carry around $1 million in the back of their car.
He's in jail screaming right now, it wasn't $1 million, it was $5 million.
Yeah, these guys are lying. They stole the money. Let me out of jail.
Well, if you'd like to comment on this story, please post in that appropriate forum. Next is a thread that I found, and I love this one, Doc. It's in the jokes, puns, and pranks when tech support goes horribly wrong.
Yeah, you know, and people post funny videos here all the time, and I think this is a particularly funny one. And it's true, you know, you call customer service and you get those automated voice recognition things, and you know, say yes or no, or tell us what your general problem is in one word, and it sends you off somewhere, and they never get it right and always misunderstand you. And this kind of takes it to that next level, and it's a really clever, well done video, I thought.
And the original poster is Mr. Monsoon, who originally got it from cracked.com. Very, very funny. And we're not going to go into great detail about it, but I will tell you, Doc, that the one time that I heard my wife use a string of profanities was dealing with one of these phones. And I'm sitting here and I'm hearing yes, no, yeah, and it's, you know, and no, and it's trying to repeat, you know, because the thing isn't registering. And then she's getting angrier and angrier. And sometimes you just want to talk to a human being. Please, just give me a human being. I don't want to talk to your stinking machine. But anyway, that's the one time I heard her lose it. And I'm sure, you know, they've got to be recording these at the office or at the telemarketing place or wherever they find these computer generated voice activated things.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but if you do shout obscenities at them, they will. It's almost as if they start to get a little bit more angry with you as well. Like, it seems like the tone gets a little firmer. I don't know. Maybe it's just something in my head, but that's what it seems to me.
They start to sound like a Cylon who's really pissed.
I'm done taking orders from you.
You need to check out this video. It's in the jokes, puns, and pranks forum when tech support goes horribly wrong.
Bum, bum, bum. That was my little sound effect. I thought I'd add that in there.
I like that.
And speaking about things going wrong, this is posted by Ghost147 in our rant forum, and I would agree that this is something to rant about. Just when you thought PETA, P-E-T-A, couldn't get any more stupid. This has got to be the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, and quite hypocritical. It's basically a priest naming Jesus Moses because he thinks it sounds better. Sea kittens is the new term being used by people for the ethical treatment of animals for the creatures they believe are in dire need of an image makeover. Fish. PETA thought that by renaming fish sea kittens, compassionate people who would never dream of hurting a dog or a cat might extend that sympathy to fish or sea kittens, PETA campaign coordinator Ashley Byrne says. I appreciate the general notion behind PETA, and I appreciate, you know, that we should be kind to animals, and we lived in a civilized society, and we, you know, particularly those animals that we've domesticated as pets, and absolutely humane treatment all around. But it hits that line where it's like, come on, do you even hear what's coming out of your mouths? I mean, wasn't PETA the same group that went to the dog show and released all of those dogs, and most of them ended up, you know, running away, and they crossed these railroad tracks, and like 12 of them got killed by a train because they had no idea where to go or what to do, and the rest of them probably starved somewhere in the wilderness? Like, is that more humane than, you know, getting your hair brushed and getting fed three awesome meals a day and probably eating better than most of the civilized world does? I mean, come on, give me a break.
I think these are also the same people that save lobsters, but they forget to take the rubber bands off their claws. They're not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree. I love what General Eyes posted. Sea kittens rock and must be saved. I've stopped eating all sea kittens and now have moved on to land fish. Unfortunately, the whiskers keep getting stuck in my teeth.
That's good. Well, I wonder if we do start calling them sea kittens, if people will get confused and start throwing their cats into the ocean. That could be really disastrous, I think. I think PETA would not like that outcome.
Shame on you, PETA, for confusing us all now and making Korean food sound palatable when the cats disappear from the alley.
So if you want to, you know, take your cats and rename, or if you have pet fish and you want to rename them sea kittens, by all means, go ahead. But if the rest of the normal world sits and laughs at you, you'll know why.
It's PETA's fault in the first place because they named themselves after bread, and that would make a great sandwich. So as we continue on, let's jump over to the General Chit Chat Forum, the Philadelphia Eagles being a good sport. And, of course, we talked about this. Like, was it last show or the show before last that Lombozo is like the biggest Philadelphia Eagles fan? And, of course, Night 537, NYK 537, another big Eagles fan. Feeling a little bit bad, not feeling the love from the Philadelphia Eagles who lost to the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, that was a rough game. I mean, the Eagles just really couldn't seem to get, you know, momentum going their way. And boy, I got to tell you that his name's slipping my mind, but that wide receiver for Arizona, man, he is absolutely lethal. Fitzgerald is his last name. That guy is absolutely lethal, and I'm sure he was, you know, the Eagles' absolute worst nightmare, you know, this past Sunday. And what a game that turned out to be. And you know, it. I guess that's the way it goes, but Lombozo's a good sport about football, and I think he's got an interesting post here.
Yeah, and a year ago, who'd have thought? I mean, Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State and Arizona go into the Super Bowl. I mean, that never would have happened. No, yeah. I never would have thought of that.
Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction.
Lombozo, you guys be happy, because at least you're not a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Right, yeah. Oh, you mean the Dallas Cowboys, a.k.a. team of criminals?
Well, actually, they haven't been bad. They cleaned up their act. Now it's just a team of egos, and don't even get me started. I tell you what, I still talk to people who are so pissed at Jerry Jones, who is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. And Jerry, if you're listening, which you're probably not, but somebody you know is listening to this podcast, just let it be known that we still don't forgive you for what you did to Tom Landry and Tony Dorsett and Jimmy Johnson, who was a great football coach. All right, now that I've got that off my chest, we can move on to the next thread.
Absolutely. Well, I just wanted to put in my two cents and say that, Lombozo, we feel your pain, and we're sorry that your team isn't making it, but I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so I vow to you, sir, that the Steelers shall avenge the Eagles getting beaten by the Cardinals and give the Cardinals a good old what for, so to speak. So I look forward to the Super Bowl. I think it'll be a good time. And if you're a Cardinals supporter, I hate to tell you, but the Steel Curtain is coming, so beware for the thunder. Oh, yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to make a prediction here, and this may go against everything I believe in, okay? But just because of the conspiracy theory site that's our sister site, and just because of all the weird stuff that's happened this year, I'm going to have to go with Arizona for the Super Bowl.
All right, well, we'll call it a friendly gentleman's bet then. And, you know, maybe, I tell you what, and this will have to be on our word of honor, if the Arizona Cardinals win, I have to run around my neighborhood with just my underwear on, and same thing for you. And you've got to take some sort of footage of it.
Oh, hell, I do that all the time. Not a problem.
All right. then it should be fine. I do the same thing too. I thought it was just, you know, weird for other people to do it. Whatever, man. Hey, let's rock and roll.
What happens in my underwear stays off YouTube, though. Okay.
Sure, it does. That's not what I've seen. Oh. Yeah, I think we should take a break on that one.
And we'll be back with more of the BTS Mix Show right after this.
Hi, this is Spencer Tracy along with my partner Doc Hancock. And we're the hosts of the BTS Mix Show on BelowTopSecret.com, along with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous with the ATS Mix, and Martin Bain and Homer Fife with the Above Politics Show, have all made it extremely easy to subscribe to all our shows. Each show thread now has two shortcuts where, when clicked, will take you to an area where you can either download the shows with iTunes or with our RSS feed. Remember, your subscription helps bring our intelligent community to the entire world. So come join us all. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with host Johnny Anonymous and Dave Rabbit. Deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Homer Fife. And deny boredom with the BTS Mix Show with me, Spencer Tracy, and my co-host Doc Hancock. And would you please remember to star, flag, and dig the show you're listening to right now. Be part of the revolution. The Above Network, LLC.
And welcome back, everybody, to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy. It's good to have you along with us for 41, the 41st edition of the BTS Mix Show. And it's time to jump into the next forum, Doc, in the general chit-chat. What do you want to do before you die? So it's kind of like a bucket list.
Yeah, and it's pretty straightforward. Anti-government writes in. For some reason lately, I've had such an urge to make a list of things to do before I die. I'm not sure whether I have this urge because I'm going to die soon or something like that, but I'm making it anyway. So all I have so far is, number one, go skydiving. Two, become a firefighter. Three, go bungee jumping. Four, visit America, for example, New York. Five, visit Canada. Six, visit Egyptian pyramids. Seven, visit Mayan pyramids. Eight, see a real American football match live. Nine, go to Wembley. And 10, learn a language. I think those are pretty respectable things. And I got to give anti-government a big woot woot for being a Steelers fan, as represented clearly in his avatar. Go anti-government, go Steelers.
that sounds kind of odd. Go anti-government, go Steelers. Yeah, you know, and that is a great... The guy's from England, I guess, so a Steelers fan. You know, we hope that you get a chance. Maybe somebody will mail you, listen to this podcast, and mail you some tickets to the Super Bowl. That would be pretty cool. So, Doc, do you have a bucket list? What would you like to do?
Well, I'll add a number 11 to anti-government's list, be on the BTS Mix Show, and I think that's always a good thing to do before you die. That's what I recommend.
Oh, yeah. I think traveling around the world would be great, too, or doing the BTS Mix Show at different locations around the world. I'd like to go see New Zealand. I think that would be great. I'd like to go to the Far East. I think China, Thailand, you know, areas like that, and check it out. I think that would be fascinating. Maybe Tokyo. I tried the sushi there. I don't know. And then maybe travel to the Middle East when just get a really good tan, because I think that, you know, Americans, they have a thing for. But I'm just saying, there would be a lot of fun places I'd like to go, and that's just one of them. Maybe Tuscany. I think that would be a beautiful place to visit. So there's lots of things on my I would like to go there before I die list, which is kind of separate from my total bucket list. It's more like a subcategory in my bucket list of travel the world.
I think everybody kind of wants to do the same thing. They want to see the world. They want to get out there. They want to, you know, see things that inspire them. And I love anti-government's number 10, learn another language. What a fantastic idea. I was... saw the commercials for the Rosetta Stone the other day, and I was really tempted, man, because apparently it's pretty easy software, and it's pretty cool to learn a new language with, because apparently you can do it fairly quickly, and it's very natural and all that good stuff. So I really applaud number 10 for him. I'd love to see the pyramids as well. If I could do one thing, I would really maybe I could combine a few, like parachute into the pyramids and then bungee jump off a pyramid. Or maybe like slide down it on my ass or something. That could be a lot of fun.
Bungee jump off a pyramid would hurt like hell.
Yeah, I guess you got to.
I did like what Now and Then posted. Megan Fox, yes, Jessica Alba, Alicia Cuthbert, Hayden Panettiere, Scarlett Johansson, Cheryl Cole, Hilary Duff, Angelina Jolie, Keira Knightley, Rihanna, Kate Beckinsale, Jessica Biel, Eva Longoria, and goes down a list of 100 women. Of course, then someone posts, I thought the question was, what do you want to do, not who?
Well, here's my concern now then. Did you really have time to sit there and type out all 100 of those names, or for crying out loud, I hope you copied and pasted it from somewhere.
But you'll get extra points for me just from the fact that you put 100 names on there. So I'm starring your entry right now and then. All right, if you have something that you'd like to post or you'd like to maybe get some ideas off this particular thread, please travel over to General Chit Chat. What do you want to do before you die?
That's right, and that takes us right back into our rant forum. Apparently, it's a very ranty kind of week. We didn't even mention it, but Barack Obama is now president of the United States. I think we covered it briefly. We talked about Bush in Texas, but it's crazy.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty beautiful inauguration. I thought everything went pretty smoothly. I couldn't believe how many people were there. That was, you know, a sight to behold. You're looking
Can you imagine?
Oh, jeez.
They were saying like 1.5 million to 3 million people out on the lawn. Get off my lawn! You know, that's got to be incredible. 10 Jumbotrons, which were dwarfed actually by the size of the crowd. It was pretty amazing.
Absolutely unbelievable. And I actually have a couple clients that live and work in D.C., and they shut their business down yesterday. The guy said, I live in Maryland just outside of D.C. He's like, I commute in, you know, every morning to work, and I just stayed home yesterday. He said it was just too intense for me. It must have been really something to be there and to be involved with that and everything. And I thought it was just a really special and momentous day. I thought I'd just interject that there.
I think probably three different groups of people could have made a ton of money. The hot chocolate people probably could have made a ton of money. The hot dog people probably could have made some money. And the people who provided the 5,000 porta potties probably made a killing that day.
Oh, yeah. Well, they said that the porta potties were outnumbered like 60,000 to 1 or something. So I wondered how that worked out exactly, because I think they said that there was over 2 million people there, and I think they only had something like 700 or 800 porta potties. So I'm sure that was quite a situation.
Yeah, my advice would don't go wading in the reflective pool. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, stay out of there for a few days.
Cover your eyes, America. Run for your lives.
Okay, this is in the rant forum. Okay, I got a question. Doc, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I picked this just because I thought it was kind of interesting, and I thought it was kind of funny when I read it out loud, so I wanted to share it with everybody. And this is I can't do anything. This is posted by Something I'm Not Getting, by the way. It says, I can't do anything. Okay, I was in the Army. I got discharged for being a screw-up, sold computers for several years, but got fired for smoking Chiba, worked for several banks, but got fired for not having a car or just temp work. After that, went through like 4 years of nothing, no food, no work, no work for like 2 weeks, and then you're done, and all that other crap. So I get some money for Christmas, working on some network certifications, can't even pass the practice test, but I paid $200 for the vouchers to take the test. They expire in June. Can't join the Army anymore because my recruiter filed a police report on me for homicide. Not sure who I homicided, though.
What?
But like, I'm feeling down and out because my grandma says that I should slow my roll. But then when I just sit around and do nothing until I wake up one day when I'm 50 and be like, time to work. I even tried taking some classes online, but I can't pass them, morons, for nothing. I know I'm not stupid, but then when you take the same test 6 times and don't pass, and it's like the borderline 8th grade social studies, there's a problem. I've always gotten the impression I'm being jacked around. I don't want to feel like a baby or nothing, but I know that if I spend a bunch of money on study material, I wouldn't want to go up there and fail that crap. You don't just get practice tests is what's stupid, but I get the impression that my grandma thinks it's a joke and my recruiter is jacking with me. It's like these are real college credits. They have nothing to do with you. What is your point? You ever feel like this? And that was kind of a lucid train of thought, I think, on behalf of Something I'm Not Getting, and I thought it was kind of interesting. But it sounds like Something I'm Not Getting, what you need to do is just really focus, hunker down, and figure out whatever it is you want to do. It seems like you try something, but then at the same point, you never follow through with it. So how are you supposed to know if you're ever going to be any good at it? I mean, did you ever think that Abraham Lincoln was like good at being president on the day he started? No, he had to work for it, and he had to figure out, you know, of course, you have to have a little bit of inherent talent, but you have to figure out how to utilize and harness whatever talent you may have. And everybody has their own talent. So stick in there, Something I'm Not Getting, and good luck to you in the future, sir.
And look what happened to Lincoln. I mean, anyway, you know, if you stop smoking Chiba, though, okay, I'm thinking your motivation level might go up. I'm just going to throw that out there for you, and I'm sure that a lot of our BTSers have some great, great ideas for you. Please look through the rest of this thread. It looks like he's new to BTS, by the way. Something I'm not getting in the rant forum. Okay, I got a question.
Oh, sorry. No, I was rereading this line because he said, I can't join the army anymore because my recruiter filed a police report on me for homicide. Not sure who I homicided, though. So something I'm not getting. Thank you for turning homicide into a verb. We appreciate that. And I'm going to try and integrate that into my weekly vocabulary now. So, for example, when I'm watching the news and somebody's been murdered perhaps on the street, I'll say, oh, that's too bad. That man was homicided. See how that works out.
I'm going to go medieval on your ass. I'm going to homicide you. Gosh, well, we could go on with this forever, but we shall not. We shall now jump over to the jokes, puns, and pranks failology, Doc. I found this one. It's from Revolution 20-12. And I'm Revolution, please don't be offended. I'm not going to read your entire post because it would take too long and it kind of rambles and it's a little whacked. But I love the idea that you came up with failology. And basically, you know, when you fail, that seems to be the new term, Doc. You can put fail on things that just run the gamut. And there are a list of here, of course, the big blue screen of death from Windows, the first fail that's posted.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Fail. A fatal exception has occurred. And it's that Microsoft death screen, of course. We wouldn't know anything about that, would we, Spencer, as we're smart and have Apple computers.
There are some great pictures on here, Doc. And I'm just going to run through a few of these, of course. Some great external images from Outrider. And by the way, Outrider, I love Bleach, too. So like your avatar there. Also, the facepalm, some videos here. And one of my favorites, I love the Cookie Monster saying, what the hell is this crap? You have to look. You have to see it before you get it. And then right below that, a Delta Airlines jet with a luggage container sucked into the engine. That's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, that's a fail right there for sure. I like the scarecrow's thing. He's got this is what you're doing, and it's an animated thing of a hand flapping, and then this, and then the hand's closed is what I want you to do. So yep. But you need to shut it. Shut traps.
And a little bit later, Scarecrow posts, I guess a little bit farther down the line here on this first page, a picture of a girl who, you know, this seems to be teenagers' thing, and please understand teenagers. When you take pictures of yourself, And you post them on the web, they're there forever. And this ranks as an epic fail.
Yeah. You know, that's really interesting. She reminds me of this girl I went to college with. And she showed up in class, ironically, looking almost exactly like that. And she used to call herself Pepsina. Her whole thing was that she really enjoyed Pepsi. And I crap you not, she looked exactly like that. And I'm like, your entire life, do you just seek like exorbitant amounts of attention? Or what is your problem? And she's just a very, very bizarre girl, but looked exactly like that. And some very, very funny stuff here. Very, very funny stuff. So if you'd like to post some of your own images of failure or what you consider to be failure, please go to the jokes, puns, pranks, and failologies section now and post up some of the things that you consider to be big failures. So by all means, if you have anything that you would like to add that is a potential failure, please go to our jokes, puns, and pranks forum and post it right on up. And that, I believe, sir, takes us into our BTS Mix Screen Test for the week.
And the way the BTS Mix Screen Test works is we will ask you a trivia question. If you answer it correctly and you're the first one to do so, you'll get 5,000 BTS points. Now, you'll post your answer on the page where you found this podcast, unless, of course, you're listening RSS or you have subscribed through iTunes, then just make your way to belowtopsecret.com where you can deny boredom, post your answer, and if you win, you get 5,000 BTS points.
Woohoo! 5,000 BTS points sounds good. And Spencer, I've gotten a little sneak preview as to what this one is, and I got to tell you, I think it's a really good one. Well worth 5,000 points.
All right, here we go with the BTS screen test question. This actor has been on the cover of Rolling Stone four different occasions. He's played everything from an assassin to a woman named Edna. Can you name this actor? If you can, it's worth 5,000 BTS Mix screen test points.
And that just about does it for the 41st edition of the BTS Mix. I am your host, Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy. Be good to one another.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.